Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org. Amen. A lot of things happened in the 80s, amen? Ups and downs, it was different. I think that's the best way to say. If you look at some of the fashion in that time, it was different. Different music, different time. But through all that, Pastor Duncan, Pastor Glenn Duncan, helped pastor this church in a way that pointed it forward. In a way that led the people that he shepherded the flock, but he pointed us to a new future at that point in time. So this would be the Sunday that he would preach, because he pastored the majority of the 80s here at this church, I think until 1986. He left, and they actually came back and served this church for a long, long time. And as Joanne said, there's barely a person that I've met who knows him that wasn't impacted by him. Or I remember the first funeral that I ever preached as a pastor, I got to jump in a car with Pastor Duncan. This is before Cindy told me that I'm the one that should have been driving. So we went down to Lagodi or someplace like that, and he always took the opportunity to pour in to someone. And so, man, it was a short trip, but man, I cherished that trip, because he poured into me what it was like being a senior pastor and the things that you need to do to be a senior pastor. And he affected and changed a lot of people. Raise your hand if he has touched your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So Cindy Dorsett, his daughter, who, in my opinion, touches a lot of lives just the same or more. If Pastor Duncan was an Elijah, Cindy is the Elisha. Amen. I've had so many closed-door special meetings in my office with Cindy, who has helped me tremendously. And so it's my honor and privilege to introduce her as she comes to share God's word. Help me welcome her this morning. Amen.
I got my water. This is water in here. Pastor Bill couldn't be here, but thanks for entrusting me with this. He asked me, Lance, probably a year ago, to do this. And I say, thank you, Pastor Stevie, Pastor Steve. Him and I are tight, and he has supported me. Church family, you're awesome. You are awesome. You're the best church family I could ever dream of. And this week, my phone's been blowing up with texts from y'all and your support and your prayers and knowing that this is a difficult thing. You know, I've talked to you guys before, but never under this umbrella. You know, my dad was supposed to be here. So I say thanks. I've got friends here that I love. This isn't your church, but you came today to support me, and I say thank you for being here. I have family that drove, they left at 3:00 this morning to surprise me and walk in here, and I say thank you. My daughter and my son-in-law and my grandkids and my husband. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be able to meet with y'all like I do. All hours of the day and night. It's because of him that I can minister. And he's always told me that's his job, to take care of me so I can help those that God sends my way. And so I say thank you to him, because he's my support. But with all that said, I'm here to share with you something that God has laid on my heart. And I know that it's for today, and I know that it's for somebody here. So from this point on, forget about me. We turn it over to the Lord and we say, have at it. Have at it. Sherry, if you'll come, I've asked her, when I speak, she often prays for me because I need a minute to just, to be honest, I need someone to pray over me and you. And she's a dear friend that does that faithfully with me. And so if you'll stand, we're going to go to the Word a minute. You know, that's what they did in the 80s. In the 80s, you stood when you read the Word. And if you'll go to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter with me, and it's the 20th verse. And in the 80s, we used Bibles, and today we use pads or whatever those things are called. I'm not real good at all that electronic stuff. So whatever you got, go for it. And go with me to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse. And when somebody's got it, holler, got it. All right, because I'll begin. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even can imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Sherry?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today, and we just thank you for your presence here. And Father, we just thank you that you are our God and King, and we will bless your name forever and ever. And we just thank you, Lord, for the work that's been done in this church throughout these 75 years, and Lord, just the landmarks that have taken place throughout. Father, we just thank you that you have demonstrated your word that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. That through the struggles, the triumphs, the disappointments, you have been here. And we just thank you for that. Father, we just thank you for Pastor Duncan. And as we honor and bless the memory of him today, we just thank you for all that he's done. Lord, how he loved your people, how he interceded, stood in the gap. And Lord, just continue to pour forth your word. And we just thank you for that. And Lord, as that mantle is being passed on to his children and his children's children and forevermore, that same word of truth will be preached, that you will have that families that will love on the people, intercede for them and stand in the gap as he led the way and showed them the way. And we thank you for that. Now, Lord, we lift up Cindy. We pray, Lord, that all peace would fall upon her by your Holy Spirit, that she would bring forth your word. We thank you, Lord, for just ministering through her, and may our ears hear today what your Holy Spirit would like to say to us. And we just rejoice in you and thank you for those who will come to acknowledge of you as Savior and Lord in the years of this church going forward. And we bless you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Sherry. There was three things Dad always said, and if you were under his ministry for any length of time, you heard this. One of the things was he always said, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember hearing it? One of the other things he used to say was, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember it? And another thing he said was, there's a place with God. I have a picture of him. I wish I had remembered. And he was young, and he's in the pulpit in Bedford over there, and he's holding up his Bible, and he's doing this, you know. And I looked at that, and I said, I know what he was saying. There's a place with God. And he meant it, man. This man lived it. He lived it. And one thing he taught me, I went through some really bad stuff from about 18 to 24. My life was horrible. And he'd say, honey, there's a place with God. I can't take you there. I can't do it for you. But there's a place with God. Honey, find that place with God. And I would hear it again and again and again and again and again. And that has stuck with me. Back in March of this past year, Mitz and I always go to Madison. It's something we've done now for a few years. We go to Madison. We stay at Clifty Falls. We take a time. It's a personal time. Her and I do our thing. She does hers. I do mine. And we spend it listening to God. We want to hear God. And one morning early, the sun hadn't come up yet, I go to my sitting spot. And anybody that knows me knows I got sitting spots. I love sitting spots. My husband made me the most incredible sitting spot you've ever seen. You're welcome to come use it anytime. But I went to a sitting spot there at the Clifty Falls. The sun hadn't come up yet. And I was there with a purpose. And my purpose was, Lord, you got to show me what it is I'm supposed to share with the people in July. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking over it, and man, it just floods me. There's a place with God. And he started showing me what it looked like and how it went and how it come down. And Mitz always comes down a little bit later because she knows how I am and giving me my space. And she comes down. She's walking through. And I'm looking at her. I said, Mitz, I've got it. God has given it to me. And she sat down. She had a quick little run view of what it is. And she's here today. And thank you, Mitzi, for supporting me today because she knows how difficult this has been for me this week to do this. But I want to show you what God has showed me. And guys, take us to the ocean. My favorite place is the ocean. Pastor Stevie got that for me, and I say thank you for bringing that together. Just take a minute and hear that. We just got back, 14 of us, my family, 14 of us in the family, just got back from the ocean. We've been home about a week, and we spent time on the ocean. I want to share with you something that happened. Rand and I went to the ocean a few years ago, and man, I love it, and I'm all excited, and I've got my beach bag, I've got my books, I've got my beach towels, I've certainly got my beach chair. I leave him. You don't have to have sound. That's okay. But just play that if you don't care with no sound. And I am ready to go to the ocean, and he's asleep. I leave him sleeping. That's what I do when I get up really, really, really early. I brought my chair down to the ocean. I put it with this. He's kind to me. He allows me to rent this umbrella and two chairs, you know what I'm talking about, that's always there. But I always bring a beach chair. So I put it all there under that umbrella and with those chairs, and I got all my stuff here. And now I take off, and I take off to walk the ocean. And I am walking this ocean, and crazy as it sounds, my mind is not at all on that ocean. My mind is on work issues that I've got going on. At that time, I was managing the Spirit 95. I had employees under me. At that time, a lot was going on in my work life, in my personal life, in my life. Anybody understand that? So I'm walking that ocean, and I am working on the solution to my problems when I get back that I'm going to handle. And I mean, I am deep in it. I'm gonna figure this out, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to talk with that person, and yeah, I think I can do that. And when I get back to my chair, I'm even going to make notes on that because that was a good thought. I need to do that. And as I'm doing it, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, you're missing it. And I'm like, I'm missing it. What did I just miss that I need to do different? That's really where my brain was. And the Holy Spirit said, stop. You're missing it. And I stopped and I realized this ocean was all out here. I was missing it because I was all locked up into my stuff. Been there? Know what I'm talking about? So locked up in my stuff that for 1 week out of my life, my husband brings me to the ocean because that's what I love. It's not what he loves. And I'm there at this place I love, and I'm here in my brain over all the junk that I got to go home and handle. I was missing it. Buddy, I walked back to my chair. I brought my chair and set it right down there in the waves. You know what I'm talking? And I sit down. I would sit down in it, but you'd have to see me roll out of it. It's not a pretty sight. But I sit down here, and I let that water start coming over me. And I could feel the waves and the sound, and I could hear it, and I could feel it. I could smell it. Can you tell I love the ocean? And I said, whoosh, whoosh, it'd come up over me. And man, oh man, oh man, I was in it. I was in it. I didn't think anymore about Spirit 95, my employees, my problems. For that moment in time, I was in the ocean. As far as I could see, no end to it. That's big. The power of it I could feel. Bye, guys. My grandson, he has to leave, and I'm waving bye. Bless his heart. I could feel the power. I could smell it. I could absorb it. And as I was sitting there, I am so tempted to sit there. As I was sitting there, you know what I heard? Cindy, there's a place with God. Oh, my land. Something changed in me that day. Because all of a sudden, I could take my senses of what I was feeling and what I was loving and what I was doing with that ocean, and I could apply it to my spiritual senses. This is God. This is what Dad talked about my whole life. There's a place with God where you can see Him. You can feel Him. You can smell Him. You can know Him. There's that place. And when my life is going out of control and zeroing out of control, there's a place I can go. And it's that place with God, just like the ocean did to me, and the water and the power and the smell and the vastness. There's a place I can go with God, young people, that God does that to me because I can see Him and I can hear Him and I can feel Him and I can know Him. And I'll forget about the troubles, and I'll forget about my problems. And believe it or not, y'all, though you'd come to me and talk a lot, I got problems. And God knows them, and I can forget those problems, and I can focus on the only one that matters, and that's God. And when I focus on God and not my problems, somehow or another, I don't even care about my problems. Do they leave? No way. They're right there, smack dab in front of me. But I'm different. Because I no longer am looking to the problem, but I'm seeking out the solution maker of my problems. And that's Jesus Christ. I want to show you what I'm talking about. And if you'll go with me to John, the 15th chapter. When you got it, when someone's got it, say got it. Oh, I heard I got it. That, you're faster than me. I'm not even there yet. John 15. And if you'll go to verse 5, I think is where we'll start at this. I will read it to you. I am the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Let me read it again because I just messed. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now let's stop there a minute. What the world was he talking about, and how in the world am I going to bear fruit? I'm a human. And I'm going to bear fruit if I abide in him? Go with me over. Put your finger there. Don't lose it. And go over to Galatians, the 5th chapter, because I want you to see this. I could tell you about it, but you need to see it for yourself. Galatians, the 5th chapter. And if you go to, I think it's a 22nd verse. Yes. Galatians 5:22. Look right there. But the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, that's what he's talking about. I'm going to bear much fruit. This is what he says I'm going to bear when I abide in him. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Who could use some love? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm a great needer of self-control. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. Galatians 5:22. And apart from me, this is Jesus talking, you can't have any of it. It ain't going to work. That's what he was saying. When you go to this place with God, I don't care where it's at. It doesn't matter. You could have your place with God. I had it in a car. I'll drive up to see my family, and on the way of the drive-in, I'm in a place with God. You can have. I had it this morning on the way here. Trust me, a place with God. I've got a place at the back of the property that I can go to on my four-wheeler, and I'll go back there, and I'll be in a place with God. I've got a chair in my living bedroom that I go to purposefully for a place with God. You can have a closet. What did they do in the war room? She made a closet, and she found a place with God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how flamboyant and wonderful and awesome that this place is. What's important is that you find a place. And what do you do there? The scripture says, abide with me, and let me abide with you. Unfortunately, in my life and what it has looked like sometimes, I would go to a place and it would be all about me. God, I got this going on. God, I got that going on. And God, I need your help here. And God, if you would answer that. And God, I've also got this situation going on. And please help that person that I'm da-da-da-da. You know what I'm talking? That is not a place with God. That's not abiding with him. Have you ever had a friend and you got with them and all they did was tell you everything about them and what they needed and what they wanted and where they were going and how they were going to do it, and you were just like, oh, my land, I'll be glad when this is over. You know what I'm talking? Too often we do that and we want to call that a place with God. That's not a place with God. A place with God is when you stop and you recognize, God, you are who you say you are, and I believe that. God, you are the beginning and you're the end, and I know it. God, I may be sick in body, but I stand here today and I know you are my healer. Lord, I may be here in total defeat and everything's falling around me, but let me tell you one thing I know. You're with me, you've never left me, you'll never forsake me, and you will always be there. That is a place with God. And you know what happens? You sit there, and before you know it, your problems aren't so big after all. You know why? You took it to the maker of the universe. You realize how great and big and awesome and powerful he is. And your little problem, though it seems great, is absolutely nothing to him because he's got it handled. He's got you covered. He is with you. Through the cancer, he's with you. He's with you. Your spouse left you. He's with you. He's never left you. Through the death of my dad, he was with me. And he's never left me. He is who he says he is. He can do what he says he can do. Now, if you don't have that in you yet, and you don't have the scripture in you to come forth, let me give you one. Go to Isaiah. Go to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Let me give you one. And when you're sitting in that spot with God, go to Isaiah 40. Yeah. Isaiah 40. I'm going to start with verse 28. Do you not know? Whoops, somebody got it? Okay. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He'll not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can even imagine. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, and they will rise up. And they will soar with wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not faint. Is that not enough when you're sitting in your spot with God to go, whoa, this is who I'm serving. This is who I'm talking to. This is who I'm abiding with. He's got me. My favorite verse, skip over in my Bible, you just turn a page, but it's Isaiah 41:10. My most favorite is, that didn't mean word, sorry, but I just realized it when I said it. I'm so used to doing that with my grandkids and my family. Isaiah 41:10. I love it so much, and I've stood on this so much. My kids have got me this great big thing they made where it's printed out, and it's in my barn because that's where I spend a lot of time. And this verse, "Fear thou not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed." That means discouraged. "I'm your God, and I will strengthen thee, and I'll hold thee. I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That's my God talking to me. That's what he says to you, and he says it to me when we're in this place with God. Get over yourself. It isn't about you. It's about the creator of the universe that created you and breathed breath into you and gave you life. It's about getting to know him. That's why the word is so important. Not so you can sit there and go, "I read 10 chapters today. Good for me. I went to church every Sunday. Haven't missed 3 months. Good for me. I prayed for 6 hours. Good for me." You know, I pray another six. It's not getting you anywhere. If that's coming from the attitude, you're doing it because God thinks that's what you have to do in order to have a place with him. That ocean, we left it, what, two weeks ago? It's still going on without me. Nothing's changed. That ocean's coming in, that ocean's going out. Coming in and going out. God doesn't need me to have to pray hours upon end and read the Bible and crazy and go and to earn a place that he will meet me at this spot. He's there before I even get there, no matter what I've done to get there. I go with a heart of, "God, I am nothing without you." That's what Scripture just said, chapter 15. And I come before you with this little bitty verse, "Fear thou not. You said you're with me. You told me not to be discouraged because you're my God. You told me you'd strengthen me. You told me you'd uphold me. And I'm here, God, and it's me and you, buddy, and I'm counting on it." That is abiding in God. Now, you need to know the word. The word is good. You can't quote the word if you don't know the word. So please don't think I think the word is not important, but it's important. But it's not what gets you there. A place with God. Okay. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, Paul said, "I've learned the secret, and I know how to be content." Oh, let's read it. Philippians 4. Somebody's got it, just say, "Got it." You guys are good. Verse 11. "I'm not saying this because I'm in need." This was Paul talking. "But I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through him who gives me his strength." That's what you gain when you go to a place with God. You gain strength from the only way you can get it. The fruit of peace, some of you need. The only place you're going to get it is to abide in him. And him abide in you. And he says in his word, you'll bear peace. Man, it's incredibly awesome. I can't take you there. I can't do it for you. Young people, I was your age. We lived in a church in Mishawaka, and it was connected to the church, our house. And it had a breezeway, and you went right from the house to church. Dad's always said it was awesome because the girls could be on time, because we didn't have to mess around with who's going where and what car. We just, when it was time, you walked to church. And I would go in the night, late at night, and I had flippy-flopper things, you know. My dad's study was there. And I would go in the night, and I would go over to the piano in a darkened place, turn on a little light, and I would sit and I would peck on the piano. I couldn't really play, but God blessed me enough in those moments to start playing for my good. And I would play that piano, and I would start singing to the Lord, and I would find a place. And one time, Dad didn't know I was there, but he heard me. He said, he tells me, before he died, he shared this story with me. He said he heard me in there. And he said, I was just praising the Lord with the piano. And he came and he stood in the doorway. He didn't want to scare me. And he walked up to my piano, and I remember it. Sat down on the bench. And he said, honey, you're finding that place with God. It was the beginning of an amazing adventure, journey that God took me on. And I was your age. Find a place with God, young people. It affects you. It affected the rest of my life. I went through some rough stuff. And had it not been for that time of learning this from the wonderful love of my dad, it got me through some really rough stuff. It doesn't matter your age. You're at a critical age. And there's a place with God. Why is all this so important? I'm going to take you on because it's going to be time. You know, Dad said back in the 80s when he preached, it wasn't considered a preaching if he didn't preach 2 hours. But I'm here to tell you, my little Elizabeth said to me, Nana, how are you going to talk for so long? But we're going to move on because I'm not keeping you 2 hours like Dad. Though Dad would be really get a hoot out of it if I did. You know what he'd say? You'll see how much they love you. You'll see who walks out. That's what he would say. He was a jokester beyond jokesters. But anyway, why is all this so important? It goes beyond you, this place with God. It goes beyond you. Hang with me for just a minute now, because this is a tough thing for me to express it and do it properly, and I need the Holy Spirit's guidance on this part more than ever. But if you would go to Joshua, the third chapter, and you're welcome to go there. Matter of fact, I will too, because I'm... Joshua, the third chapter. Why is all this so important? Joshua, Moses was gone. He was no longer the leader, and Joshua was. And Joshua is still trying to get all these Yahoos into the promised land. The Israelites were still headed there. And they knew they had come across the Jordan River. They come up upon it, and they're going to have to cross it. You guys know this story, and I'm not staying this part of the story. But if you don't know, I want you to understand. They come to this Jordan River. It's a vast body of water, and they had to get across. So Joshua, and they went around, they said, consecrate yourself tonight, because tomorrow God is going to do something great. Get your place with God tonight, because you're going to need it tomorrow, because God's showing up, and he's going to take you through. They went as far as saying, you're going to go places you've never been before. You don't know where you're going. You read it for yourself. So follow the Ark of the Covenant, and you'll get there. Because you don't know where you're going. Everybody's, okay, we got this. They get up. It's time to cross the Jordan River. They, sure enough, here's the water. Those priests carrying that Ark of the Covenant, they don't think about it. They just step their feet right in the water because, you see, they've already been consecrated and they already knew. They stepped into that water. The water started crossing back. The water held back. It said that the waters were at floodgate stage at that time. The waters held back, and they walked across on dry land. Now, I know that's awesome, and the story's been told, and that is amazing. And that story was told way back then, and today in 2017, we're still telling it. Dad in the 80s told it. Hang on to this. I want you to get this. When they're walking through, God said, take 12 men and have them get stones from the middle of the place where you stood. Stones, big stones, and haul them out of here. Because we're going to do something with them in a little while. So they went in, they picked up these big, strong stones, and off they took, and they took the stones out of there. Everybody crossed the water, and before you know it, the waters caved in, and everything went back to normal. Are you with me? Those stones had purpose. Because he said, you can read it, and I don't have time. He said, when you camp tonight, make a monument. Put up those stones. And when your children ask you, what does that mean, Mom? You can say, that is when we crossed the Jordan. God came through for us. These stones to remind you, children, that God did it. Not only to your children, but your children's children and your children's children. These stones are important to always remember. So when you come across the Jordan, they said, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, back at the Red Sea, Moses faced the Red Sea, and what happened? He cleared the waters and they walked through. Just like Moses did it now, Joshua, he did it for us, and we're walking across on dry land. Woo-hoo! He said, it's bigger than that. Put those stones up because you're going to tell your kids and your kids' kids never to forget what God has done. Revelation 12 tells us, by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, they overcame. That's in Revelation 12. By memory stones, we can overcome. Now, I don't know any of you that might have faced a Jordan where you had to cross on water, but you've faced Jordans in your life that look bigger than all get-outs. And when someone comes along and said, oh, yeah, let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you about my memory stone that I built up in my life when God delivered me from. Let me tell you what God did for me in my grieving. I've been 2 years grieving my dad. It's been two long years. And family, you've been awesome supporting of me. But boy, the day it lifted, it just lifted. And I was there and I was through it. And it just happened a few months ago. And I built me up a memory. Because I could share with Brent and Christy. I can tell you what he did for me. My memory stone, he got me through grief. It was long and it was hard and it was difficult. But I'm on the other side and here's my memory stone. And what he did for me, he'll do for you, Brent and Christy. That's what he promises. And that's why these memory stones are so important. See, this place with God isn't just about you. It's about you so you can walk in the freedom God has for you, so you can see the results of the stuff you're going through, and you can build memory stones for when someone else comes along, you can say, I know what you're talking about. Let me take you to my memory stone. He did this for me. He got me through it, and he will do it for you. That's what the Word says. That's why. You got to be here to have memory stones for here. Are you with me? Do you see what I'm trying to say? I can't take you there, but I know who can. And it's this place with God that only He can do. It's like none other. There's power in it. Why do you think when you go to have your place with God, it sometimes is the driest of the driest and the hardest of the hardest? If you think for a minute Every one of my times that I go to God is a yip, yay, and happy, wonderful, emotional place. Woo-hoo. It isn't. Now, I've had them, and I love them. But my place with God is not so that I can receive an emotional rush. My place with God is so I can connect with the God of the universe who wants time with me. And my obedience of doing it. And sometimes I will open up my Bible and I'll find a scripture and I'll just say it. And then I'll sit. And I will find something now starting my brain again. Something. A lot of times I go to the barn. I love the barn. It's my place at the barn with my horses. And I'll be there and then he'll come something. Like I need to notice something or do something. No. God, I'm here with you. It's me and you. And I'll get up when my time is done, when I feel I'm okay. Yeah, there's something I'm supposed to tell you. Yeah. Just to say it so doesn't make it so. I'm going to say it again. Just to say it so doesn't make it so. I can say something 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, and that's the magic number, and all of a sudden it... I stay in this spot with God, saying it until it's so. They're not words anymore. I know the difference. You know the difference. That place with God, and sometimes I get up and I'm not there yet. And I'll go back another time and I'll talk to him about the same thing. And be with him and know he's my God. Know he's my strength. Know he's my comforter. Know that he's the great I am. Know that he's my refuge. Know that he's my tower. But I say it when I get up because it is so. I don't say it 3 times trying to make it so. When it's here, buddy, you know it. And ain't nobody gonna take it from you. That's a place with God. Well, I'm off on that because that just was something I needed to share. So now let's go back. God is who he says he is. And he can do what he says he can do. And he is your only recourse. Your only strength. And he will be with you. And he will never forsake you. There is a place with God. If you go back to Ephesians 3, and that's where we began. Somebody got it? Just say you got it. Ephesians 3:20. Let's wrap this up, because that's what I feel like I'm supposed to do. Now to him, this is God, who is able to do more than all we can even ask or imagine. Now hang with me on this a minute. This is critical. This is life-changing, I'm getting ready to tell you. How many times have you went to God and, buddy, you told him exactly what was wrong and how you would like it if he'd answer it? We pray the problem, and then we pray the answer. I have done it. You see, I put my pants on the same way you do. And I may be Glenn Dungan's daughter, and I am honored to have been that. But I just go through life just like you. I just have to stand on the principles of God just like you guys. We're all on the same page here. But we'll go and we'll ask and we'll pray and we'll tell God our problem and then we'll tell him how to handle it and how he should do it. And then we get up and, whew, that was a good one. I feel better now. don't we? That's what we do. Whew. You know what? You might as well just come sit before somebody else and just hand it on, do it all, and whatever, you know, in lots of ways. God hears you and he loves you. Oh, let me tell you, God loves you. No matter how you come to him, no matter what you're saying, no matter how you're providing it, he loves you. And if that's what you're doing and you don't feel any different, you can't just keep doing that because he loves you. But according to this scripture, it says that he can do more than I can even ask or imagine. That's big. And when I find this place with God and I focus on who he is and I forget my problems, now they're still there when I get up and leave the room, trust me, but my praise and my rejoicing is because the Father and who that he is. When I am there, I all of a sudden, don't know how it happens, it's a crazy thing the way God designs all this, but all of a sudden it's like, who the world do I think I am? God, you got this. I don't even begin to know to ask how to do this. Kids, you've suffered with your baby girl. It's been tough. It's been hard. You don't even begin to know. If you could do it, you'd do it. But there's a place with God that you can know, God, I trust you. I don't know what, I don't even begin to know how to ask you how to handle this. I don't begin to know. I'm crazy if I think I am. But your word tells me that you can do more than I can ask and get this, even imagine. That's big. And he says he'll do it forever and ever and ever. Daddy said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of memory stones are you making? What are you building up of what God has done in your life so you can tell your kids and your grandkids? No matter how bleak and dark it is right now, whatever it is you're going through, I get it. But there's life after that, I guarantee that. And there's memory stones to be made. Daddy, when he preached, he told about Joshua's memory stones and Moses' memory stones, and he brought them into the 80s, and he started telling us about what God had done. Then he started telling us what God was doing. There was a great revival that broke out. Weeks it went. Some of you here will know, but weeks it went. I was fortunate enough at one service, I stood back and watched a man get on his hands and knees and crawl to get through people because he just needed to find God. Memory stones of what he's done. We can't forget it. Your kids need to be told it. They need to be talked about. It needs to be brought into the 2017. That's why you have this with God. It's not just about you. It's so that you can then victoriously get through. Have your memory stones. Tell other people. And when they're hurting, you're there for them because you did it. You've been there. You're a survivor of it. It's not just about you. Memory stones. We've went 75 years in this church. Great stories. I'm fortunate enough, I'll be 60 here in just a little bit. I got to hear from my dad. I walked with my dad. I talked with my dad. My dad and I were tight. I adored him. He shared with me. He encouraged me. And I also saw his battles and his fights. And I walked with him and saw it. You guys saw Pastor Duncan. I saw Pastor Duncan and some of his stuff. One night he called me late. Well, late for him especially. It was probably 12:30 in the night. Cindy? Yeah, Dad. I had some stuff going on in my room tonight. What's going on, Dad? Why? There was some stuff. You know, the devil is after me. He said, you know what I did? What'd you do, Dad? I went to that place with God, and man, they had to leave. Because it's not time for me yet. My time hasn't come yet. They aren't allowed here, Cindy. We prayed, we laughed, we had a great time. That's the side of my dad. Y'all didn't know that he battled. My mom was killed in the auto accident. My daughter, my niece, my mom died, my niece died, my dad was behind the wheel, and to this day, no one knows what happened. No car was involved, nothing. We don't know what happened. He laid there at the scene of the crime with my mom, who's, it wasn't a pretty sight. The car had smashed her. The baby, he's all alone in some place he didn't know how he got. And he said, I stood there, and he said, oh, Cindy, I was so thankful for the man. He came up to me, and he helped me. I couldn't have got through it without him. He said, I said, who was it, Dad? I don't know. I think it was a sheriff. I'm not sure. So when everything was said and done, I went to the sheriff's department because I wanted to find this man and thank him so much for being with my dad. Nobody knew what I was talking about. One particular cop said to me, come here. He hollered at this guy. He was there on the scene. Tell him the story. And he said, I saw him standing over there by himself and wondered how he was doing so good, but there wasn't anybody with him. Oh, yes, there was. The angels. Someone was appointed to Dad. He was with him. And he said to me, Cindy, I told you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's been true to me. He'll be true to you. And I pass it on to you guys. Same God. Same word. Same way. He's yours. When Dad died, and I share this with you, not for emotion, I owe it to you. We've never talked about it. You loved my dad as much as anyone could love him. When he died, and we took him off all machines and off all medicines, and the doctors said, this is it. It's just going to be a matter of a few hours, and he will pass. Dad knew it, and at that point, he was with it. He was seeing funny things and laughing about stuff, but that was a hoot. But all in all, he was with it, and he talked and shared and said. And then we came to this place where we had to take him to hospice. And from the time we left there to hospice, he was gone as far as he couldn't communicate with us anymore. You know that place people go? And he couldn't communicate with us anymore. He couldn't talk with us anymore. He was just laying there in the bed, and yet he was with us. But it came to the day that he was going to pass, and the Holy Spirit so led us to go get cleaned up. So I got cleaned up because we stayed with him. Cheryl was with me and said, Cheryl, we're supposed to get cleaned up, so let's get cleaned up. So we did. We freshened ourselves up the best we could. And we decided to go over there by Daddy's bed, and I sat by him, she stood by him, and we just decided we're just going to start praising the Lord. And we started praising the Lord. Man, oh man, oh man. I won't tell you I got there easy because my heart was broken. But my spirit knew there was a place with God here. This was it. So we started praying and praising more than that and singing. Man, there was a presence that came in that room, wasn't there, Cheryl? And we looked at Daddy and his face changed, man. He has this scroll, all that new Dad, and if he was giving you a hard time of joking with you, and he'd do this thing with his, and he was laying there, but that all just went, and he just had this enlightenment on his face, and I looked at Cheryl, and I said, look, Daddy, why, we are going to that place with God, with Dad. It was amazing. Cheryl had to leave the room, and she went off, and Daddy took this one arm, and he lifted it up. His little bitty arm. I thought he's praising the Lord. But I wasn't going to not have a moment that I couldn't snuggle in. So I snuggled in on him and I put my head on his chest. Daddy, we're at that place with God. And he dropped that arm down over my back and I could feel his embrace. And I kissed him and said, Daddy, it's okay. I'm going to be all right. Go see Jesus. And he was gone. I thought about that this week as I knew I was having to do all this. And I come to realize what I didn't realize before. Daddy was so comfortable going to that place with God. He was so normal. And when we were under these circumstances, It wasn't nothing for him to go to that place with God. He'd been there many times. God was faithful to him. He didn't suffer. He didn't do. He just went off and met God. I say that to you to not move you emotionally, though it is emotional, but you deserve to know how he passed, and I've never been able to tell you because I was in too much of a grieving, but it was beautiful. But I say it more to tell you, this is so important because there's going to be a time in your life you're going to need this more than anything. You need to know. It needs to be practice to go to that place with God. And he'll never fail you. He'll never fail you. This is the God we serve. It was my dad's God. It's my God. And it's your God. And 75 years from now, we're going to have monumental things to say to your kids and to your grandkids. What God has done, because we know. When you've been at this place with God, you walk from victory. You're not looking to try to get victory. Hear me one more time on that, and then it's time for me to quit. When you go to this place with God, you're walking from victory. You're not out there trying to get victory. You got it. You got it. Situations all look the same. Stuff still is stuff. When you've been here, you're walking from victory. Guys, God is good. He is faithful. He will do to you what he says he will do, and that is give you love. He's not your judge right now. Is that awesome? He's the lover of your soul. Doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter what you got. Doesn't matter the stuff you got going on. I got stuff going on in me. I'm needing self-control. You're needing something else. You say, but Cindy, you don't get it because you see, I got all this sin going on in my life. I don't care. God don't care. He died for you. He paid for that. Don't let that keep you from the worthiness of who you are because of what he's done. Your sin means nothing right now. He's not your judge. He's the lover of your soul.